We've been in this series called 30 Days of Hope, that He is risen, hope is rising. And the key scripture for us has been 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So would you read this out loud with me? And let's fill this place with the Word of God. Everyone say it with me. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation. Can we give God praise? Amen. He's risen, hope is rising. And my prayer is that at the end of this series, as we wrap things up today, that your hope, like a kite that's raised high into the sky because of the wind, that you too, by the wind of the Spirit, it would lift your hope high, that you would begin to soar. Cathedral of Faith, are you ready to fly? Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to somebody and tell them, I'm ready to fly. Go ahead. Again, it's great to see everybody. Well, why is hope such a very big deal? Well, researchers have found that hopeful college kids tend to get better grades and are more likely to graduate. They found that hopeful athletes tend to perform better on the field and cope better with injuries. And then when it comes to suicide, the biggest predictor is not how sick a person is, how much pain they are in, whether they are rich or whether they are poor. It's the level of hope that they have in their life. If they're hopeless, they're high risk. And that's why keeping our hope alive is such a very big deal. In fact, the leading researcher on the subject of hope, he writes this. He said, hope is not just an emotion, but an essential life tool. An essential life tool. And as we've been looking over these last few weeks, in fact, you received a card, and on that card are the principles that if you're going to keep hope alive in your heart, well, you have to refuel the tank, and you have to raise your aim, and you have to refocus on the future. If you're going to keep hope alive in your heart, you got to play to your strengths. Play to your strengths, or another way to think about it, is you have to use your superpowers. Have you noticed how superheroes are such a very big deal? I heard about this one little boy, and he loved Superman. He had a cape. He'd run around the house all the time and play adventures every day. His mom signs him up for kindergarten. First day of kindergarten, he shows up. She's going around taking names, and she asks him, what's your name? He says, I'm Superman. And she says, no, I need your real name. He said, I'm Superman. And she says, no, I need your real name for our records. And so he walks up to her, and he quietly whispers in her ear. He says, Clark Kent. He was owning it. Well, why is it such a big deal, not just with young kids, but even older kids, we tend to get into it too. In fact, we've got a picture of, well, this is our staff when they ran the turkey trot. There's Dr. Wayne, there's Pastor Ann, Pastor Kent, and Pastor Cedric. Can we give it up for the four Marlboro heroes that we have on staff? I wonder if there's something deep, deep on the side of us, deep calls to deep, that there's a hero and on the inside of us that wants to get out. And for the next few moments, that's what I'd like to talk to you about. It's using your superpowers. It's leaning into your strengths. In Psalm chapter 139, we find an amazing passage that speaks about how you and I were created. We read this. It says, you created the deepest parts of my being. You put me together inside my mother's body. How you made me is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever praised God for how he has made you? That he has made you amazing and wonderful. What you have done is wonderful. I know that very well. None of my bones was hidden from you when you made me inside my mother's body. That place was as dark as the deepest parts of the earth. When you were putting me together there, your eyes saw my body even before it was formed. You planned on how many days I would live. You wrote them down. You wrote down the number of them in your book before I had lived through even one of them. Let's give God praise for his word. Friend, you are not here by accident. You are not here by chance. You are not the product of random chance. Instead, there is a God in the universe who made you. You've been made by God and for God. And when we take our strengths and live them out with God, we can make a mark for his kingdom in our world. Let's give him praise. Amen. That's when you know that, you'll wake up with this sense of anticipation. What does a hero really look like? Well, many years ago, there was a church service going on, and there were these two teenagers that were walking by and kind of poked their heads in the door, wanted to check out what was going on. They saw it was church, and they thought, we're not doing this. So before they could leave, though, one of the ushers that was in the service reached out to them and said, "Hey, guys, why don't you check it out? You know, you might enjoy it." And when he reached out to them, they said, "All right." They came inside, and when the pastor gave an invitation, these two guys stood up and became followers of Jesus that day. Yeah. And one of those guys was a man by the name of Billy Graham, who went on to speak to more people than any other human being about Jesus around the world in history. Who was the hero that day? It was the usher who used his superpower of hospitality to make a mark for God's kingdom in the world. Can we give it up for our ushers today? Yeah, thank you, ushers, for what you do. There's a hero on the inside of you that's waiting to get out. So how do we figure that out? What does that look like? Well, here's three things I want you to think about. First of all, look at your gifts. Look at your gifts. The Bible says God's gifts of grace come in many forms. Each of you, say that with me. Each of you, say it one more time. Each of you has received a gift in order to serve others. You should use it faithfully. Back in the day, there was a boxer by the name of Sugar Ray Leonard, and he was a champion caliber boxer, and he was once speaking at an event. And during his speech, part of it read like this. He said, "I consider myself blessed. I consider you blessed. We have all been blessed with God-given talents. Mine just happens to be beating people up." Each of us. Some of those gifts we receive at natural birth. Other gifts we receive at our spiritual birth. But each of us have the ability to do certain things well. Not everything well, but certain things well. And yet, very early, there's a pressure to be great at everything. There's a book called Living Your Strengths. And in the book, it says, from a very young age, we are taught to be well-rounded. And there's nothing wrong with being well-rounded. It's good to be well-rounded. But if you only focus on being well-rounded, you may not be sharp at anything. Your gifts will be underutilized, underappreciated, and underdeveloped. It's important to identify how God has wired you. One of my favorite theologians, Dr. Seuss, he puts it this way. He says, today you are you, that is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. No one alive that's youer than you. Finding out who that you is that God has made you to be and leaning into those gifts. When I was a kid, I loved baseball. I loved to play baseball. And the older I get, the better I was. And when it comes to throwing a baseball, the way I am wired, I am right-handed. Now, I can, in a pinch, throw it left-handed, but if I'm going to thrive when I throw, I use my right hand. So here's something to think about. At work or at school, am I throwing or at church? Am I right-handed, but I'm throwing left-handed? If I am, it's hard for me to flourish. It's hard for me to thrive. See, I need to know how I'm wired. And once I discover that gift, to lean into it. I like to put it this way. Discover, develop, deploy. That when we discover our gifts, and when we develop our gifts, and then when we deploy those gifts at church, in the workplace, in our community, that's how we begin to thrive. How are you wired? Now, in Romans chapter 12, it lists seven different gifts. They're sometimes called basic motivational gifts. And here's a list of those gifts. I want to give a situation. Let's say we were at a dinner party and there was a platter full of desserts and someone in bringing it out, they spilled the dessert. How would you respond? Well, it may depend on the kind of gift you have. If you have the gift of prophecy, you might say, I told you that's what happens when you're not careful. Or if you have the gift of serving, you might say, here, let me join in and I'll help clean it up. If you have the gift of teaching, you may say, you know why that happened? It was out of balance. If you have the gift of encouraging, you might say, hey, next time, let's go ahead and put the desserts on the meal, on the same plate. If you have the gift of giving, you might say, hey, I'm more than happy to buy new desserts for everybody. If you have the gift of mercy, you might say, oh, don't worry about it. That could have happened to anybody. Or if you have the gift of ruling, you might say, you get the mop, you get the trash, you order more dessert. Anybody have the gift of ruling in the house? Yeah? Here's the point. Understanding how you're wired and beginning to lean into those strengths. This is how you make a mark for God in this world. There was one study that was done through Gallup, and here's what they found. They found that workers who use their strengths every day are 3 times more likely to report having an excellent quality of life, 6 times more likely to be engaged at work, and 8% more productive, and 15% less likely to quit. Friend, when you know what those gifts are and you're using those gifts to make a mark for God in this world, you can wake up every day with great expectation. Can we give God praise for how he has gifted us? Look at somebody and tell them, no one is youer than you. Go ahead and do that. No one is youer than you. So that has to do with our gifting. That's the G. Now, next, think with me about passion. About passion. What is your passion? What makes your socks roll up and down? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Can we read it again? Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Can we give him praise for his word? Amen. Thank you, God. And this one comic, a lady is being interviewed for a fashion magazine, and she's asked, is she passionate? She says, am I passionate about fashion? Yep, I guess you could say I'm passionate. Being passionate. What are you passionate about? There was one superhero movie called The Incredibles. Anybody see that movie? Yeah? And it's about this family of superheroes. And so when Mr. Credible has his suit on and he is fighting crime and arresting the bad guys, well, you can see how passionate he is about that. But the city puts the kibosh on that. He can't do that anymore. So he goes to work as an insurance agent. And as you can see, he's bored to tears. He just hates what he does. And when he eventually puts the suit back on, nobody pays him to be a superhero. Instead, this is what he loves to do. He loves to help bring justice in the community. So here's a question, Gut Check Cathedral of Faith, those watching online, who do I identify with in the picture? Do I look more like this on the inside? Or do I look more like this? What are you passionate about? When you find something that your heart is into, no one has to force you to do it or beg you to do it. It's the thing that drives you. It's where your heart is at. And nobody has to reward you to do it. You don't have to have a supervisor to do it. No one even has to pay you to do it. It's good when they pay you to do it, but you do it for free because this is what you love to do. Walt Disney used to ask during an interview, not only what can you do or what are you good at, but he would also ask them, what do you love to do? Because when you get those two things lined up, there was once a building project going on in the Old Testament. They were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and there was one man, we don't know much about him. We don't know if he, well, how many kids he had. We don't know whether he was right-handed or left-handed. We don't know which football team he rooted for, but there's one thing that says about him that I just love. It says, Baruch, the son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section. He was enthusiastic. You can see that his heart was into it, that he was a part of God's rebuilding project in the world. And there's something about combining passion and perseverance. Angela Duckworth, in her book, Gone Grit, she says, passion plus perseverance beats talent alone. So again, it comes back to, what am I passionate about? And maybe today you'd say, Pastor Ken, the reality is I'm not that passionate about anything. Or I'm passionate, but I feel like I'm passionate about the wrong thing. One of the best things you can do is bring wherever you're at, be honest to God, and ask God to help you to find your passion, to renew your passion, to redirect your passion. If your heart is lost, God is the one who can help you find it. If your heart is cold, yeah, let's give him praise. He can. If your heart is cold, God is the one who can warm it. If your heart is broken, God is the one who can fix it. Can somebody say amen to that? That God can and God will give you a brand new heart today. The Bible says it is God who produces in you the desires and the actions that please him. When God gives you a heart and you follow your heart, that is how you make your mark in the world. You can wake up every day with hope, with great expectation that God, today's a day I get to use my gifts and I get to use my passion to make a mark in this world. And finally, that brings us to the last thing, and that is struggles. Struggles. The Bible says, all praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us along alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Can we give God praise for being there for us? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. My wife and I, a few years back, were helping to lead a group from the church over to the Holy Land. And when we were in Jerusalem, we walked into a store. Now, if you don't know this about me, I love to shop. In fact, Pastor Vaughn took a picture of us in the shop, and there I am. I don't love to shop. I hate to shop. But I love my wife, and she loves to shop. So I went into the shop with her, and the guy who owned it, he pulls out this piece of jewelry, and it's a beautiful piece of jewelry, but here's what makes it so interesting. It's made of a 2,000-year-old piece of Roman glass. Now, this glass was just trash. We're not sure whether it was a broken mirror or a broken wine bottle, but it was just trash until the owner and an artist went to work on it, and he took that trash and turned it into treasure. He took that brokenness and brought something beautiful out of it. And that's what God can do even with our struggles. God can take our trash and turn it into treasure. God can take our brokenness and bring something beautiful out of it. If you've had a battle with cancer, or if you've gone through the pain of divorce, or if you've gone through a struggle with addictive behavior, or if you've walked through a financial hardship, or if you've had a setback in your career, God can take that struggle and work with it. Never waste a wound. Offer it to God, and God can take it and work with it. And before you know it, the way God brought you through, you're helping somebody else to get through too. Amen? God can work through it. I once had the chance to interview WNBA legend and gold medal winner Ruthie Bolton right here on the stage. In fact, she even brought, Ruthie's awesome, she brought her gold medals and she let me wear them. Can you believe that? Take a close look at this because this is the closest I will ever get to winning a gold medal. And I treasure that picture. But part of Ruthie's story involves dealing with the pain of domestic abuse. And when she talked about that part of her story, I'll listen to what she had to say.
It was really tough. You know, it happened during the peak of my career and during the time planning the world championship, planning the Olympics. And I felt on top of the world on the basketball court. But at home, I felt this small. I felt like, you know, why me? And I felt, but I found a way. I never lost faith. I never lost confidence, trust in God. But I couldn't figure out. I said, Lord, how do I fix this at home? How can I make this better? And I even one time felt guilty. Like, you're blessing me so much on the basketball court. I'm talking about, I was playing better. I was playing the top of my game. And my home was a wreck. And I just really, I went through that. And my teammates edified me. They didn't know. They didn't know anything about it. But I was on the basketball court. And I felt they validated me. And I think that's why I played so hard. They gave me a high five. They made me feel like I belonged. And they didn't know what was going on with me. And so when I, about 4 years ago, ESPN wanted to do a story on it, a documentary, I said, no, I don't, that's the past. I don't want to. But the only reason I decided to is because they said, I know it's your decision, but you're going to change women's lives that you'll never meet. You're going to impact women's lives and edify them. And that's all they need to say because my life, when we sell out to God, when we accept Him, it's not about us anymore. He said, "You gotta deny self for my purpose," and that's what I said. Lord, this is about You. You spared my life, my whole journey. You've given me this opportunity to play around the world. I said, "This is not for me to pat myself on the back. This is a glory. This is to edify You." And so that's what I did, and that's the reason I decided to do the documentary, and it. I've gone to women prisons. I've traveled overseas to Samoa, New Zealand, Bangladesh. And I'm telling you, to be able to just show up and share my story and be transparent, all I'm doing is just sharing my story about the abuse and giving women permission to rewrite their story, giving them permission, being a voice for the voiceless. And to me, that is the biggest three-point shot you can make.
Isn't that great? Amen. How God can take our mess and give us a message, a test, and give us a testimony, a mistake, and give us a ministry. That's the amazing God we serve. And it all begins by taking a step of faith. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me for just a moment as we wrap things up. If you'd say, Pastor Ken, when it comes to Jesus, I know about Jesus, I've heard about Jesus, I'm an admirer, but I've never really stepped across the line and become a follower of Jesus. But today is my day. Today is my day. I want to agree with you that today is your day. Would you lift up your hand real high and say, Pastor Ken, that's me. God bless you. 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 Those who are outside, those watching online, God sees your hand. He sees your heart. Let me ask a second question. If you'd say, Pastor Ken, right now, I'm in the midst of the struggle. I really am going through a difficult struggle right now, and I could use some prayer. Would you lift up your hand real high? Anybody going through a really difficult struggle right now? I'm going to invite you to take one more step. It's not to embarrass anybody, but it's so that we can stand together. If you just raised your hand about going through that struggle, would you stand up wherever you're at? Just stand up right there, and we're going to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for just bringing who you are and where you're at before God. All of us know what that's like. Now, for those that are seated, I'm going to ask you, if you would, if somebody's standing near you, to go over and just place your hand gently upon them. This is one way we can minister to each other, is by standing with each other for prayer. If you're not standing with someone, at least direct your prayer towards someone near you, and let's ask God's blessing upon us. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for those who are becoming followers of Jesus. They're putting their faith and trust in you, and they're surrendering their lives to you, making you Lord of their lives, putting you in charge. They're taking that first step today. Let them hear the rejoicing in heaven that's going on. And Father, I thank you for all of those who stood acknowledging where they're at in their journey, that they're struggling right now. They're in the midst of a struggle. I pray, God, that even as we sang earlier about getting the victory, that we have the victory, God, that you would raise them up as victorious overcomers in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Give them grace, give them strength, give them hope. Let them know that there will be a day where they will get through this. It's through the valley, but they're going to come out on the other side stronger, better in every way, God. Make them a target of your favor today in Jesus' name and for his glory. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give God praise one more time. Hallelujah.